Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you this 14th day of October 2005 here in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for joining us for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us, and it's a great day on tap once again on store for us here at the show. Going to be doing lots of interesting things and reading lots of interesting stuff, so stay tuned with us. If you're on your way to work, we want to make sure you're well apprised of the weather, and here it is.
Okay, in Greenville, in downtown, 62 degrees, Greenville's Parkmore, 61 degrees, Anderson, 57, Clemson, 60 degrees. Today, partly cloudy, patchy, dense fog this morning, highs in the lower 80s, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Here's a funny little quote about gun control. It says, "You don't shoot to kill, you shoot to stay alive."
That is pretty funny. That's a good quotation, I have to admit. That is really good. Well, there's lots of stuff going on all over the world, of course, as usual. But let me give you a couple things here before we get up to our headlines. From American Glasnost, Friday, October 7th, IRS oxymoron. Forced volunteering is a classic oxymoron. The two words in the phrase are opposite. Notice that except for the IRS field agent training manual, which reminds me of something you'd see in China, the old Soviet Union, or George Orwell's 1984, IRS field agents are taught to force you to volunteer or else threaten you with their firm and fair patience. It's just plain terrorism, but you need to not let terrorists force you to volunteer for anything. If a thug can't show you a law to back up his demands, he's a domestic terrorist. Don't give in to terrorism. All right, there's your encouraging word for the day. Don't give in to the terrorists. All right, we also have here an event going on tomorrow that's so important. Many of you saw the Christian Exodus write-up, an article on the Greenville News yesterday, featured some of the Tyranny Response Network favorites, including yours truly and Dr. Robert Clarkson, talking about the Christian Exodus, had a picture of Charles Lewis and his family on the front page. Good stuff, and we're looking forward to the Christian Exodus event, which is going to be held tomorrow at the Hilton Hotel off of Haywood Road and right near Haywood and Pelham Road here in Greenville. Starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. It goes till 7 p.m. at night. Yesterday, I received some calls for even more late registrations, people wanting some... still wanting to go to the show or go to the program with Christian Exodus tomorrow, but had not registered. How do I do so? Well, obviously it's a little too late to call and register ahead of time. But if you plan to eat lunch, you need to give a call or an email to Christian Exodus. Go to the website christianexodus.org and let them know by email that you'll be coming. You can also call the Tyranny Response Network or email one of us. You can email me at questions@policyofliberty.net, or you can call the Integrity Group and leave a message, 864-244-6464. Yes, you can come if you just show up at the door. So we understand it. It's not a problem if you want to get in the door. And especially somebody called me yesterday and said they just want to come and listen to the afternoon lectures, not going to eat lunch. Well, then it's especially okay, because then there's no one that has to worry about how to get you, make sure you have some food to eat. Because, the main reason they have to know ahead of time how many people will be there, so the hotel will have a head count for how many meals to prepare. So if you're planning to just come for the afternoon events, of course you're going to miss the Tyranny Response Network's, or Tyranny Response Units, that's me, speech, because I'm going to be first up about 11 o'clock or 11:15 till 12:15 tomorrow. But that's fine. You can still come hear the other great speakers tomorrow at the Christian Exodus event. All right, the Christian Exodus event is going to feature Dr. Hugh Court, Michael Chapman, Larry Kilgore, yours truly, Arthur Bringleston, and Corey R. Burnell. All of these people will be speaking about different topics during the day important to those who are members of Christian Exodus. Should be a very stimulating time of discussion and time for fellowship. There will be people there discussing the relevance of Christian Exodus and its feasibility and likelihood of success. There will be a question and answer session. There will be vendor tables. I know that you'll be able to buy a few things from my kids there. Hope you do come and buy something from them. They're going to be selling gold, little vials of gold they've gotten, and as well as Boy Scout candy or popcorn, and if you live in the Greenville area at any rate, and some other things such as my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, and some great pro-liberty stickers. Now, that's just what I know we're selling here. My kids are, anyway. A few things that will be of interest at the vendor tables. There will also be South Carolina realtors, home builders, employers, schools, etc., all being represented there, and there will be tables for you to pick stuff up at. So, should be a very interesting conference. Hope that you can all attend tomorrow. There may be a recording if you call the main number telling you how to get in touch for late registration. If you call the 877-727-3578 number, that's the Christian Exodus main phone line, 877-727-3578. All right, we'll be announcing that at least one more time today during the show, just because we want to really support the effort at Christian Exodus, and this is, of course, the last show we'll have before it. Well, we had an email come in yesterday from Mike. And, you know, we talked about a lot about Bush and the Supreme Court nominations. We talked about abortion quite a bit yesterday. And so Mike writes in the following. All the hullabaloo over whether or not George Bush's choice for the Supreme Court is opposed to abortion is a smokescreen to detract attention from the fact that it's up to Congress to end abortion, not the federal judiciary. Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution requires Congress to limit the jurisdiction of the federal courts. If the Republicans really wanted to keep their promise to end abortion, they would pass a resolution stating that the federal courts have no jurisdiction over abortion cases. That would put the issue back in state courts where it belongs. Don't hold your breath waiting for Republicans to keep a promise. Well, it's an excellent email, and it's a good point, well put. And it's right on the money. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you don't need anything besides what the Declaration of Independence says to protect the lives of the unborn. Nevertheless, because courts have botched that and have interpreted it to mean something that it doesn't say, you do need to have the Congress step up to the plate and just do it themselves. Say that this is the law. We're gonna rein you in, Supreme Court, or any other court, and not going to allow you to continue to trample rights like you're doing. The fact is they don't have the backbone to do it, and they're just hopeful they can pass it off to the Supreme Court so they don't have to worry about the political aftermath of voting pro-life in Congress. And the 55 Republicans there obviously couldn't care less about it. And if they could care less, they would be doing something about it, like introducing a bill in the Senate to help it fly through. So, and even in the House, I don't see much action there being taken in order to do what Mike is suggesting here. So, I think he's right. I'm not holding my breath waiting for Republicans to keep a promise. I haven't seen them do so. They're a complete failure, and they're just blowing it time and time again, showing their true neocon desires and their true neocon tendencies. So, Good email this morning from Mike. Appreciate the comment, Mike, and go ahead sometime and write again. Well, on the top stories for the day, we have Pakistan's ending their search for survivors now. It looks really bad over there, and thousands of people dying. We have a bomb exploding outside the office of Iraq's largest Sunni political party after it drops opposition to Saturday's vote on the new constitution. They're going to install communism in the land and whatever else the local people there don't like through the empire-building techniques of the United States. We also have people worried to death over the bird flu. The bird flu, they found some remnant of it in Turkey, and they have put an alert out for the bird flu in Turkey. And so it sounds like people are going to be afraid here that we're going to be getting this bird flu, and it's going to be devastating, cause an epidemic of massive proportions that, kill, many, many. Now, the conspiracy theory side says that the United States invented the strain, has been controlling the strain, and plans to use it against its own people. that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, because although it might be important to if your government was, you know, who had a motive to actually just gain more power, more prestige, money, it might make some sense to wipe out a town and put the national coverage on it, make everybody afraid of you. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that the government would actually, as a parasite, wipe out a significant percentage of the population, lose that much tax revenue and that much control, that much of a potential military conscripts to a flu. So it doesn't make sense to me, the motivation for it. So the conspiracy theory is a little bit hard for me to buy on this one, for sure. But I think it's worth listening to at least what they have to say about it, because it may be that I'm missing something on this one. But here we are, the bird flu on alert for its spread. And this came out in Kizniska, Turkey. Police searched cars entering this western Turkish village Thursday and warned people not to touch chickens or turkeys after the European Union confirmed that a virulent strain of bird flu had been detected in poultry there. The Turkish government said it has contained the outbreak of the H5N1 virus, of which scientists worry might mutate into a human virus and spark a pandemic. Agricultural Minister Mehdi Ekir also said authorities were on the alert for any cases elsewhere in Turkey, which lies on the path of several migratory bird species. Bird flu was detected after 1,800 turkeys died on a farm in Kizniska, 80 miles southwest of Istanbul. Authorities have culled some 8,600 turkeys and chickens in the area and placed the village under quarantine. We've now received some confirmation that the virus found in Turkey is an avian flu, H5N1 virus, EU Health Commissioner Marcos Kiprianou said in Brussels, Belgium. There's a direct relationship with the viruses found in Russia, Mongolia, and China. Okay, well, do they have epidemics among humans in Russia, Mongolia, and China? Maybe I missed something. Maybe they do have it over there, and it's looking bad. All right, well, we'd like to follow up with that. If you have more information on it, we'd be happy to hear from you. Looks like Houston tied it up last night, so we have going into round two of the series here, of the pennant series. We have one game apiece for both American and National Leagues. If you want to talk to us at A Christian Worldview, be sure to call us at 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
A question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info.
There, you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning, this, again, 14th day of October 2005. Man, the months fly by when you're just having so much fun on here. Well, I'll tell you, we're spreading the word as far and wide as we possibly can, and we're glad to be able to bring the broadcast to you, especially because we're one of the only alternate voice of things out there today. And here's a quick ad for our friends at the Libertarian Party. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting Libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other Libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m., the second Thursday of the month, on the Library and Malden Road between the Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. And in Spartanburg, and that's in Greenville, obviously, our Greenville area, in Spartanburg, the monthly business meeting is on the third Tuesday, same time, 6:30 p.m., at the West Side branch of the Spartanburg County Library. And visitors are always welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown Greenville, or the Liberty Aplenty meeting on the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And this is a great network to be supporting, and so we're very thankful for those who continue to do so. Well, here we have another story about the avian flu, an article that came up. Interesting stuff. Dr. Horowitz, the avian flu flight, fright, politically timed for global latrogenocide. This is interesting stuff. Global latrogenocide, I'm not sure what that is, we'll find out. Here's the abstract of this article. If avian flu becomes more than a threatened pandemic, it will have done so by political and economic design. This thesis is supported by current massive media misrepresentations, profiteering on risky and valueless vaccines, gross neglect of data evidencing earlier similar man-made plagues, including SARS, West Nile virus, AIDS, and more, continuance of genetic studies breeding more mutant flu viruses likely to outbreak, inside trading scandals involving pandemic savvy, White House and drug industry officials, curious immunity of those pharmaceutical entities over the past century to law enforcement and mainstream media scrutiny, and published official depopulation objectives. With the revelations and assertions advanced herein, the public is forewarned against this physician-assisted mass murder, best termed latrogenocide, or iatro, that's an I there, iatrogenocide. This genocidal imposition is expected to serve mainly economic and political depopulation objectives. All right, well, there's your scholarly background for the an abstract for, and it's in front of a long article here from this fellow who's got it footnoted and believes that this is actually the case. This provided a for more information on Dr. Horowitz's book. It's courtesy of Leonard Horowitz and the Tetrahedon Publishing Group. And it's of course it's a copywriter's they want you to spread this around as far as you can. I was going to read the copyright notice, but no need. At any rate, this guy is a DMD, an MA, and an MPH. That's who Leonard Horowitz is. And I'm trying to see if there's a name of a journal where this is published. I don't actually see the name of the journal in this this abstract. I think it just comes out of maybe his book. A public health warning and a political essay by Harvard-trained professor of 15 books, including the American bestseller Emerging Viruses, AIDS, Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional. Okay, well, I guess that's where it's come from. It's coming from this this little article called A Public Health Warning and a Political Essay. And avian flu fright. Well, is it really something just a joke, or is it some sort of a plot, a conspiracy, an inside job? Don't know. He sure thinks so. Let's hear some others who have something to say about it. Interesting stuff. Now, at the top of the hour, by the way, we're going to be trying to call Marshall Fritz. He gave me the go-ahead to call him at. We talked about meeting with him on the air on Wednesday or Tuesday or both days. Marshall Fritz heads the Alliance for the Separation of School and State, and he told me that we can call him at 8 o'clock in the morning, our time, which in California is 5 a.m. He says he gets up at 4 a.m., and he's likely to be there and be up, and if he's not, we'll do it another day. Anyway, Marshall Fritz has been a great fighter for the truth for so long. We want to talk to him about about his work and also generally about government schooling and so forth. So we'll hopefully get our producer will be able to get him on the line around the 8 o'clock break while the Bill of Rights are playing, and you'll be able to tune in right afterwards and hear us talk to Marshall Fritz from the Separation of School and State Alliance. So stay tuned for that. All right. Also this afternoon at 1:45 for you insiders, true insiders from the Tyranny Response Network, Christian Exodus, and other related organizations like the League of the South, be sure to come over and hear Corey give an informal briefing. Corey Burnell, the president of Christian Exodus, will come to the TRN afternoon lunch meeting. He'll be there at 1:45 at the China Walk Buffet over on Pelham Road, right next to 85 where it crosses there. The China Walk Buffet, 1:45 this afternoon. Hope you'll be there for that great event. All right, here is Ron Paul slamming Bush, believe it or not. Ron Paul says indictment story is far more damaging than media is portraying. Avian flu martial law provisions aimed at gun confiscation. Okay. Now, this is written by a couple other folks that are interested in conspiracy stuff. Paul Joseph Watson and Alex Jones. Congressman Paul has accused the Bush administration of attempting to set in motion a militarized police state in America by enacting gun confiscation and martial law provisions in the event of an avian flu pandemic. Paul also slammed as delusional and dangerous plans to invade Iran, Syria, North Korea, and China. Ron Paul represents the 14th Congressional District in Texas. He also serves at the House of Representatives Financial Services Committee and the International Relations Committee. Paul appeared on the Alex Jones Show yesterday and raised some interesting points about the possibility of imminent indictments of top Bush administration figures. I think there's a lot more excitement coming, and it's not going to be for the good for the Republicans, stated Paul. The things that I hear have to do with Karl Rove and Abramoff, and that's as much worse than anyone could ever believe, and it involves delay as well. And that type of an indictment would be much more serious than the indictment of shifting campaign funds around. There's some political infighting which could make that really interesting. On the subject of the police state, Paul stated, "If we don't change our ways, we will go the way of Rome, and I see it as rather sad. The worst things happen when you get the so-called Republican conservatives in charge from Nixon on down. Big government flourishes under Republicans. It's really hard to believe it's happening right in front of us, whether it's the torture or the process of denying habeas corpus to an American citizen. I think the arrogance of power that they have, where they set themselves, where they themselves are like communists in the sense they decide what is right. The Communist Party said that they decided what was right or wrong. It wasn't a higher source." Paul responded to the President Bush's announcement last week that he would order use of military assets to police America in the event of an avian flu outbreak. "To me, it's so strange that the President can make these proposals, and it's even plausible when he talks about martial law dealing with some epidemic that might come later on and having forced quarantines, doing away with posse comitatus in order to deal with natural disasters, and hardly anybody says anything. People must be scared to death, or they're just ignorant, of course." Paul, himself a medical doctor, agreed that the bird flu threat was empty fear-mongering. Huh. I think my wife had told me that, too, that she wasn't that worried about the bird flu for her patients. If they get it, of course, she's going to treat them, but it's not something she's really worried about. Those of us who hold to the Christian worldview have a belief that God controls things, and we aren't subject to merely to the whims of natural forces. And although it may seem that way when tidal waves or tsunamis come in and hurricanes and so forth, God still is on the throne. He is the one who directs even these disasters. I, the Lord, bring calamity, says Isaiah 45, chapter 7. That is the Christian worldview. Why does he do it? Well, he does it because of his own goodness. He believes that he will promote his ways in the world. And he, who better to make that decision than God himself? He believes that more people will come to him in faith, and he believes that the opportunities to show charity and to be sanctified are increased by having these kinds of disasters. And he controls them, but they never get out of control. That is the point. God is always in control of all calamity, and it's not a matter of just willy-nilly, who knows, how can we stop this sort of thing? We're all going to die. It just doesn't work that way. All right, well, we're going to have to come to our top of the hour break here and hopefully have Marshall Fritz. Let me make just two other quick pitches. One is for Stephen Yates' Worldviews Project book. If you're interested in getting a copy of the Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism, we hope you will, from Dr. Stephen Yates, it's $20.99. And if you're a member of the Constitution Party or Libertarian Party and tell him so, it's only $18.99 plus $2.50 shipping and handling for all orders. Send your orders to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, and that's in Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina. All checks should be made out to the Worldviews Project. That's the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back after just a few minutes. Take a listen to these Bill of Rights. They're very important things, folks. You should be apprised of them. Then you will be shocked, by the governments and the states' intrusions into our liberties and what George Bush is doing, after you just start to listen to what the Bill of Rights have to say. Anyway, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. in suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview with, welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have on the phone line with us, we don't have Marshall Fritz on the phone line with us? All right, hang on. We're having some technical problems getting Marshall on the line this morning. We need to run a quick, take a quick check of the weather and do a couple of other ads, I think, and then we'll be right back over to you. We want to tell you about the Times Examiner, which is the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, the Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and liberal columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, and many others. It supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, and gun ownership. Christian values and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, or a full year subscription can be sent to you for only $25 a year in state and $27 a year out of state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner, we hope you will. Call David and ask for him by name at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. You'll be glad that you did. All right, we have a minute to take a look at the weather here. Let's take a quick look and see what the weather is like in store for you today.
Right now in Greenville, downtown is 62 degrees, Spartanburg 61 degrees, Anderson 57, Clemson 60 degrees. Today, partly cloudy, patchy, dense fog this morning, highs in the lower 80s and north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And here's a quote by George Wallace. Why does the Air Force need expensive new bombers? Have the people we've been bombing over the years been complaining?
Ha, 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 very cute. All right, so what's the status? Do we have Marshall on the line? And we do have Marshall on the line. Okay. Well, let's see if we can't go to the phone lines now and pick up Marshall. Is he available? Well, we know we rocked Marshall. We got him up early out there, and he told us to call. We're not feeling badly, but apparently we may have awakened him, even though he told us to call. So we're hoping less than groggy on the line here in just a minute. While we're waiting for Marshall to join us, let me make another quick announcement for the Christian Exodus event, which is happening tomorrow, 10 o'clock to 7 p.m. at the Hilton Hotel in Greenville. That's off of Pelham Road and Haywood, right off the 385 Haywood exit. You'll want to attend from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. If you haven't already pre-registered, don't be afraid to just show up at the door. It's okay to do so. The only problem is we try to call ahead in the hotel and let them know that you'll be that you'll be coming a little bit late without a dinner or lunch reservation yet. And that's the problem. They have to have a head count for how many people are going to eat lunch. But even if you come just in the afternoon or just in the morning to hear my lecture, that's fine if you do so. But when you do so, just show up at the door and pay whatever reduced fee or whatever fee is required of you there and go ahead and enter. They'll be happy to take more people at the door. Glad to see that went on yesterday with our Greenville News people there being interviewed so often about, or so many places about the Christian Exodus event, and we hope it has the best of success tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to giving my speech and also listening to the others there as well. 877-727-3578 is the phone number out in California to where you register. 877-727-3578. Anyway, we have that's the fall conference, October 15th, tomorrow. Hope that you'll be able to attend. All right, well, we have Marshall Fritz on the line now, finally. Marshall, welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, my friend. It's been a long time since we've talked, but I'm certainly looking forward to our conversation this morning.
All right, I remember our first conversation when you were in Chile, South America.
That's right. I was down in Chile, and you were an excellent help to me in linking me up with some people, putting me in touch with some folks who were like-minded, pro-privatizing, you know, getting rid of the public school, and also advancing the cause of liberty, not only in Chile and elsewhere, and put me in touch with some good people to help me in my my own academic
career. Oh, you're very welcome.
And I appreciate that, Marshall, so much. So tell us what's going on with the Alliance of for the Separation of Church and State these days.
I couldn't quite hear you there. Somehow we lost our volume. Can you repeat that last sentence, please?
Yes, I said, what's going on with the Alliance for the Separation of Church and State these days?
Well, first of all, I hate to pick a fight with the host in the first few sentences, but the name of our organization is the Alliance for the Separation of School and State.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I got church and state on the brain so much here that I made a mistake. I knew that, Marshall. Go ahead, though. You're right. Thank you.
I'm sorry you're breaking up, and I didn't hear the question, but I'm glad you took the chastisement in the gentle spirit with it was intended.
Should we call you back on a landline? It would be easier for us to talk at the...
I am right now at the airport in Atlanta, just getting out of the airport on my cell phone and preparing to go to a conference that I need to be at by about 8:15, what do they call it, the Georgia time, Eastern time.
Yes.
So, actually now, I'm sorry I wasn't clear enough in my emails to you, and I was trying to get you to call me to set up the interview, not to do that interview, but to set it up. So at some time when you're off the air, give me a call on this line, and let's set a date where I can be on a landline and not be panting and hauling a bunch of luggage.
And
all. Is that okay?
It sure is, Marshall. You know, we'll appreciate you having you on the show at any time, but it sounds like it's not a convenient time now, and I'm sorry for the confusion. Apparently, we got our wires crossed there, and we'll be happy to talk with you probably at the...
Oh, I'm sorry my emails weren't clear enough, so... Well, we'll just have to do it at a better time. If you call me next week, we'll set it up. I'll be back in Fredericksburg. And in the meantime, people can look at our website, honestedu.org, honest, like in truthful, mm-hmm. edu, like in education, .org.
Okay, super. We'll be sending people there, and everybody will be looking at the site, and we'll be looking forward to having some good talk about the government schools, also called, known as the pagan seminaries, with Marshall Fritz. And Marshall, if you can hold on the line, or we'll just call you back in about 5 minutes when we're at our next break, and we'll get all the data from you from when we need to call you next, all right? Thanks a lot so much.
You can try that, yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you later, Marshall. All right, well, there's a quick call from Marshall Fritz this morning. Not sure why we had our wires crossed like that through the emails, but we thought we were waking him up from bed. And let me see, where is that email from Marshall here? He says, John, unlikely to wake me up. I'm usually up by 4 a.m. If I'm still asleep, the blankety-blank phone doesn't ring. And it didn't have an expletive there. It just had, you know, like little symbols for blankety-blank. He says the phone doesn't ring. But you can try 5 a.m. Friday and probably get me. So that's what he said to do, and we did that. But apparently he was meaning that we just needed to set up a meeting with him. That's what he says now. So we'll be happy to have an opportunity to talk with him shortly and then set up a meeting for another call with him next week. So at any rate, there is your event for the day totally transformed now into something different. Well, we're going to go back now and start talking about a few other things here on the Tyranny Response Network's agenda of things that we have for the day. One of them is Madison, in a quotation out of the Federalist. Here is what James Madison said in Federalist number 46. Madison said that the proposed new federal government would never dare encroach on the people's rights, since to any regular army would be opposed to a militia amounting to near 500,000 citizens with arms in their hands. To which Madison's friend Tench Cox added, "Who are the militia? Are they not ourselves? Congress have no power to disarm the militia. Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American citizen. The unlimited power of the sword is not in the hands of either the federal or state governments, but, where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people, and that's from Cox's examination of the Constitution in 1788. So how can George W. Bush come out and disarm us? I mean, this is what Ron Paul says he's planning to do. He's going to use this avian flu thing or bird flu as an excuse to disarm people. Folks, if he comes to disarm you, you need to go and shoot him. I don't know what else to tell you. This is your responsibility as an American citizen. You have your guns as a final check against the state. Don't be so willing to just turn over your arms to the government or to the state. That's the wrong thing to do. And I hate to sound like a revolutionary reactionary, but that is part of being an American. We have to be willing to stand up for liberty at some point. And if he comes to get you or your guns, if he sends the ATF or proper people at or just carrying badges and so forth and have good bureaucratic jobs to come and disarm you house to house, then you need to open fire. There is no other choice then. If they come and try to do what the British did at Lexington, where the shot was heard around the world to start our Revolutionary War, then we need to do the same thing again now. That's what it comes. That's what it's come down to. So, if I don't know if all this is true, but that is what we have to do as Americans. If we're going to be truly Americans and stand right for the truth and the cause here, you have to stand up for liberty and for what the Constitution says and fight against the malicious, persistent, parasitic, lethal and virulent state by gunfire. I don't know how else I can say it than that. I'm not mincing my words well again, but that's what we need to do. James Madison, Tench Cox, absolutely right. That's the principles our country was founded on. That's what we need to uphold. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll be back after this quick break.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I got a copy of the Heritage Insider Online for the week of October 10th. This comes out of the Heritage Foundation. And we thought would be it might be worth reading a couple things off of this. Who said this? He said, "The atrocity in New York was predictable and inevitable. It was an act of retaliation against constant and systematic manifestation." Oh, my text is cut off on the right side. Well, anyway, let me see if I can finish this up. If you guessed Cindy Sheehan, George Galloway, Ramsey Clark, or any of the other usual suspects the insider had the privilege of talking to, at least a Nobel Prize city doesn't committee doesn't hide that its preferred literary bullpen skews anti-American. Oh, I'm sorry. We're too much text cut off on the right side. I started reading a thing here, and I realized when the printer... Does your printer ever do that, where it actually starts printing something, and it looks like it's come out right, and then you actually pick it up, and you're missing about 1 inch off to the right? Well, that's what we have here. Unfortunately, I'm not going to bring you the the Insider Online's great quote at the top. They do have a section on here about older drugs and shorter lives, healthcare for Katrina victims, labor market regulations, and why German labor market reform has begun. So there's a lot of good stuff in the Heritage Insider Online today. Wish I could bring it to you. Boy, we're having a couple snafus here today. Well, hopefully one snafu is not going to go. It's going to be having Greg Ferrier on the line. Greg is, of course, our co-host every other Friday here at Christian Worldview. He's also well-versed and knowledgeable on homeschooling and issues here in the Upstate. And we were hoping, after we had Marshall on, to have Greg comment as well. And Greg, you're on the line now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Well, we tried to get Marshall Fritz on. Apparently, got our wires crossed. We ended up calling him at the Atlanta airport instead of Fresno, California, at 5 a.m. And he was rushing, holding luggage, and was not able to talk to us this morning. He's going to have to. We're about to speak with him again next week. But while I've got you on the line, have you got any insights into the public schooling you'd like to share today?
Well, I was thinking of calling in a few moments in the future here and speaking on the avian flu thing.
Okay, let's go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, and then let me gather my thoughts about the homeschooling situation. You know, I was involved in a study, it must have been a year or more ago, it was actually a study that never was. In regard to the avian flu, I know one of the professors over there, and this professor was involved in poultry. And this professor was telling me that the law is, or the practice is, when they find a chicken that sneezes, I mean, this is basically in most cases, what I've been told by her about this avian flu is, it's just like the chicken has a cold.
Okay.
It's not like it has some kind of deadly disease that's going to, disfigure this bird and so forth. It just makes it less desirable for market. And when they go out and find these things in these huge houses that they have, that they put them in, you know, they're all crowded in, you know, like on a subway car or something.
Yeah.
And they find, one or two of these things that sneezes, and basically it's what happened. The chicken cough and sneeze and so forth, and they end up there for 2 miles around. They'll kill every bird around.
Huh.
And the same thing happens in Hong Kong, where they raise a lot of them. It's just the way it was described to me, it's just basically a big, huge panic. You know, you may kill, you know, 500,000 birds because, you know, a handful of them have sneezed or something. And I'm not being facetious when I say sneezed.
Wow. Okay, so the chicken sneeze. Now,
a chicken does sneeze. I have a few of them myself, and they do sneeze.
Well, okay, if the chicken sneezes like that, and they is it no longer edible if you killed it? I mean, would you catch the avian flu by eating its meat?
I don't know that that answer, but the thing can be cured, but I guess it's cheaper to kill them all.
Ah, okay. So instead of curing the chicken, you just kill them all.
Yeah, well, you see, the part of the study that in the study that never was, I was dealing with this, what would you call them, alternative physician. And I knew that something like he didn't been involved in other things like this. And I talked to this professor, and the professor was all excited about doing this experiment. And she actually said that she had a friend in Pennsylvania that wanted to do some what they call probiotic research. She says, "I know that stuff works." When I say probiotics, it's like. A simple way of putting it, like you and I would take some yogurt, perhaps after you've had some antibiotics or something like that. In other words, to inoculate your gut with, the bacteria, the friendly bacteria. And they would do the same thing with poultry. And she said, "I know that stuff works, but evidently the system doesn't like this."
Hmm.
they would much rather, I guess this is, like they say, follow the money trail. When you have the big drug companies and so forth that want to, you know, keep their product on the market, when you get somebody who's alternative and less expensive, they, of course, having the upper hand, can go out and say, oh, you're, and this is kind of a principle here, when they have the upper hand, they can push the little guy out of business.
Okay, now when you say they, who is the they you're talking about? You're, the people who have...
I would say the people that are in charge of maybe the FDA.
Okay.
Or the drug companies and so forth.
Okay. Well, we certainly don't like the FDA here. We've smashed them several times on Christian Worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the motivation for any bureaucrat to continue with his craft, like that they do, of not approving drugs and so forth, is because he can wield a lot of power and increase his own budget. And
mm-hmm.
And it could well be that the bureaucrats at the FDA are keeping the little guy from sneaking around and doing, as far as they're concerned, sneaking around, doing something outside of their control in order to maintain their own power. It's very plausible to me that in an economic incentive that would occur. Whether or not it is, of course, is maybe a debatable question. But you're basically saying that the avian flu or things like that would not be stomped out as easily as they could be by alternative medicines, simply because the FDA would step in and wanna be in charge of it and wouldn't really care about getting the best outcome for society, but would be more interested in promoting their own needs.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, I'm saying that yes, the. Interesting thing about it, now this is anecdotal, and I've heard about other situations, but this is one that I was somewhat involved in. You know, I started to negotiate between these people, and this professor and this doctor, and he was beginning to set it all up, and so forth, and then it came back in negotiation. They said, well, it's going to cost you $25,000 to do this experiment. And so I go back to my party, and he said, okay, let me get with my investors. We got with the investors, we came up with $25,000. And then they come back, well, we're busy now. And it just went back and forth, and we got snuffed out, basically.
Okay.
Because and we're talking about people, you know, that were involved in the industry.
Right.
I mean, I guess they were just protecting their turf in that regard. But, you know, here's a public university and so forth.
Right. Okay. Very interesting. Okay. Well, I've seen that kind of stuff myself. It's not beyond politicians and bureaucrats to behave this way. You know, tomorrow at the Christian Exodus event, and I guess I'll mention it again now. You know, we have this Christian Exodus event going on here in Greenville. My
mm-hmm.
talk tomorrow is going to be on, in fact, let me just read it right off of the flyer, find out what I'm talking about tomorrow. I'll show how perverse economic incentives lead to permanent government failure and why private property rights were the choice of the founders for the protection of liberty. And what happens is people believe that the government... For some reason, they just, maybe it's because of their public school indoctrination, they believe that the government is benevolent, or at worst, benign. And it's not going to harm people. It's not actually out there to do evil. When I talk about government, I mean the state here in particular.
Let me ask you this, in that regard. Do you think that the local people are just as hostile as the people up in Washington?
No, and we'll jump to that for a second because that's important. I've just written about Christian civic duty, and it's on my website, and it's been recorded as a Liberty Minute.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it on TRN. If you hadn't heard it already, make sure you stay tuned throughout the day to TRN, 87.9 in Spartanburg and 97.7 here in Greenville. But the idea is that when you have local governance, when you have people in the local area who are judges, sheriffs, and even a city council, making decisions about local justice issues, you do not have a real problem. That is a form of government, and it's a form of government that the Founding Fathers envisioned. Even the state legislature in South Carolina should be far smaller than it is, and far more restricted in what it does, and the bureaus that emerged from it should not even exist. But in that sense, the federal government's bureaucracies are far more egregious and virulent and against the principles of liberty and the founders. And so the answer to your question is simply yes. Those people are far more prone to perverse incentives than local folks are. Doesn't mean there isn't corruption on a local level now. We know that there is. But at least there's a place we could theoretically envision for the local kind of governance where we wouldn't be able to do so for some of the federal bureaus that have emerged.
When I first went into homeschooling some 20 years ago, it was most amazing what actually happened. It was my wife who basically called my attention to the point we needed to homeschool at the time. And, of course, there was all this business about he had to approve it with the local this and the local that. We were not the first to homeschool. But I guess we were probably the first to put together a support group.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Greg. You know, this is a great thought. Let's make it our topic as soon as we come back from the break, because we're right at 8:30 now. And so let's hold that thought, and let's hear about what your experience is with local government and homeschooling and so forth when we get back here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to jump to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This 14th day of October 2005, I want to remind you folks to go and sign the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to save your private property. It's online at the tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com website under related media. Go sign the petition. It takes 30 seconds to do so, and support private property, protect your private property, support the principles of the Founding Fathers. All right, but before we go back to our conversation with Mr. Greg Ferrier, who's holding on the line, we want to quick check the weather for folks here who are still making their way out to work.
Right now in downtown, it's 62 degrees. Greenville Spartanburg, 61 degrees. Anderson's 57. Clemson, 60. And today is partly cloudy, patch, dense fog this morning. Highs in the lower 80s and north winds 5 and 10 miles per hour. And here's a quote by Adlai Stevenson. A free society is a place where it's safe to be unpopular.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I like that. A free society is one where it's safe to be unpopular. Is it safe to be unpopular today? I don't think so. Well, Greg, are you back on the line with us?
I can barely hear you.
Okay, well...
Now I hear you a little better.
Okay, good. Well, Greg, we got
to... Get that volume up, Mr. Producer.
Yeah, well, he's working on it, I think. All I do is face the mic and talk. I'm petrified as far as doing everything else as you
all
know.
All right.
Sitting in here having to do
am
that.
Am I audible here?
You're audible. You're good. Go ahead. Tell us about local county politics and homeschooling.
Well, what happened, there were several of us in the area that were beginning to homeschool, and one of the bureaucrats, the local bureaucrat, began to, question, why in the world do you want to homeschool? Don't you want to, put your kids in here? We're all nice Christian people, and, part of the... It had gotten back to them that, there was a religious issue and they teach evolution in the public schools and, all this sort of thing. Oh, we're just good Christian people too. And, the whole thing was sex education and it was more than that, but it seemed to be about as far as they understood. And when it first started, we had to go before the Board of Education. Or the school board as they call it, and we sat there and I put my coat and tie on and we went before them and we listened to all the other part of the agenda. Then it was our turn and I stood up and I didn't really know what to say, so I said, well, I'd just like to be able to homeschool and why do you want to do this? And all of a sudden they interrupted me and they said, well, have you signed the paper? And I said, what paper? And all of a sudden this bureaucrat came fumbling in. I have it right here! He was sitting behind us. And I started to look at it, and there were some words in there that were unfamiliar to me. And he said, well, you sit down and look at it, and we'll keep on with our program here, and you can, when you're ready, we'll talk to you. Well, I stood up again after my wife and I had read this, and I said, there are a couple words here that I don't understand. Is this some kind of a Latin phrase or something? And somebody looked at it and said it was all misspelling. And, our educators, so to speak,
right,
doing this. And they also talked about the principles. In other words, we had to sign over to their principles. Their principles of education.
Yeah, like transgendered sex education. And
well, this is 20 years ago.
Okay. Didn't have that yet then.
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite as pronounced now as it... they probably could have made a case for it back then.
Yeah.
But it wasn't long after that that people began to... we began to hear about other people that had been in it before us... the Homeschool Legal Defense Association and so forth began to say, hey, it is not legal for you to do this, that, and the other. They wanted to come into our homes and observe us.
Oh, my.
And the Homeschool Legal Defense Association said that you don't let these people into your house unless they have a search warrant. And there were all kinds of things like that. Eventually... we went down, I remember, it had to have been close to 20 years ago now, where we went down to Columbia, and we had to deal with our congressmen and bureaucrats and everything, and the place was swarming with homeschoolers. I mean, it was a big crowd of us there. And we intimidated some people.
Yeah.
And I remember one guy with a crutch stood up
in the meeting there, and he was, I guess, part of the state school board, and he said words to the effect that, he says, you go out and you make legislation like this, in other words, defending homeschoolers and so forth, we'll come up with more legislation. Hmm. So, in other words, the whole idea, they were very hostile to homeschooling as a school board.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if we came up with something, they were going to come up with something else. Thankfully, we have two people that are... have been, they are home, one of them is a home, I guess they're both homeschoolers, that are on the school board now, they got on there. Well, of course, you know Ron Wilson.
Yeah.
And, of course, is a defender of the public school, I guess, as an institution, or at least thinking that perhaps it can be worked with.
Yeah, that's his.
And, the other, Kristen McGuire.
Okay.
Who have, shall we say, diluted the brew down there,
mm-hmm.
as far as you know, dealing with all these leftists that are down there. They have at least had some voice in there,
and
all this has come over the past 20 years that I've been familiar with homeschooling.
They did boot out Inez recently too, or she resigned under some kind of pressure, as I understand it. So you have had a considerable dilution of things. However, the people who would sit on homeschoolers on public school boards are sort of defective homeschoolers, in my view, of course. But be that as it may, yes, they're there and they're doing their job.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Well, you see, the thing about local government is that there is a considerable amount of pressure that neighbors can put on people. Who are elected officials locally, whether it be even the sheriff or a judge, all the way down, of course, to the city council, or if there is one, a county council, because, you know, they live in our community, and they have to, you know, pay the price of social pressure if they choose to do something that's wrong.
Hey, John, can I interrupt you for a minute here? I'm having a little trouble actually hearing you.
Okay. How about now? Are you hearing us all right?
It's a little bit. There's some static in there. I can call back in on another line if you wanted, or is this the one we're going with?
Well, why don't you go ahead and get
that's much better right now.
Okay, is it okay? Well, I was just saying that, you know, with local government, we have far better control over what people do and think and say and so forth on those committees, and they're less likely and less prone to practice nepotism and corruption. As long as there is true local control. You see, the one problem we have with local government now is that they constantly have the excuse, well, we can't help what we're doing to you now because we have a federal mandate we have to comply with. Yes, we can't help the fact that you don't want to have public schools here because we have to comply with what Columbia decided down there in the legislature in Columbia, for instance, South Carolina, being able to force local bodies to act in certain ways, and it's somewhat of an excuse they can hide behind. In real local government, they would have the ultimate authority of anyone. The sheriff would be the highest authority in any particular county. The legislative body in Columbia, made up of representatives from the different areas, would be severely limited as to what it could say and do to a particular county. Local government would be truly local, and there would be very powerful people, effectively, in each one of those positions, but they would have a lot to answer to in terms of a local constituency. So, in my vision of true, and I think Jeffersonian or Madisonian vision of government, it's very limited, very disparate, and spread out through local areas in a strong manner.
It would also, we'd be flying the Palmetto state flag over the federal flag.
Oh, of course, absolutely. If we even bother having a federal flag at all, and why not just have the, you can always have a Confederate flag, or a battle flag, I should say, up there, but the Palmetto flag should be the predominant flag we would fly here, if we're going to fly any flag at all, and certainly it's going to be above the federal flag. But yeah, we're getting into that radical stuff that they were worried in the Greenville News so much about yesterday, about me talking about secession, or Christian Exodus talking about secession. I told him it was a great idea. Do you think you can pull it off? I said, no, I really doubt we'll be able to do it in our lifetime. Why did I say that? Because I look at the public school indoctrinated people out there today, and I look at people like Tony Beam, who's calling for General Grant kind of person to save the Republican Party, and people like that. There's just no chance that these people, as they currently stand, are going to come around. And it may happen in my lifetime where we get enough people thinking and turning around and facing the right way, but it doesn't seem likely to me. But I would love to see it, and I told him that in that interview. I wish we could secede from the Union and be a separate country and be free of these guys up in Washington.
Well, I know Walter Williams has been talking about it for years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Walter's liked the idea of secession. He likes small government, county, local governments, and so forth. Well, Greg, we're up against another break again. Do you want to hold through the final break, or do you want to hang up and get on your way?
Well, I can hang on if you want to chat a little more.
Okay, very good. We're going to go to a break here, and you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. Actually, no, we got 1 minute. You know, I'm going to make my announcement now, if you don't mind, for the Christian Exodus. One more time, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock in the morning till 7 at night, we're going to have the fall conference of the Christian Exodus Movement at the Hilton Hotel in Greenville. That's on Pelham Road or off Pelham Road, right near Haywood Road off of the 385 and Haywood exit. There will be a number of speakers there, including Hugh Court, Michael Chapman, Dr. Hugh Court, Michael Chapman, Larry Kilgore, yours truly, Dr. John Coben, Mr. Arthur Bringelson, and Corey R. Burnell, all talking about fantastic topics pertinent to those in the Christian Exodus Movement or interested in the Christian Exodus Movement. We hope that you'll be able to attend. Even if you haven't registered, make sure you show up at the door, announce yourself as unregistered, and let people know that you'd still like to come in for all or part of the conference, especially come and hear my lecture on perverse incentives and property rights to get y'all fired up about why we need to have some change in government and why we have to have some change in who we're willing to support in government. Here, you can also give a call to the Christian Exodus folks at 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578. Give them the courtesy of letting them know you'll be coming. I know there's still a few seats they'd like to fill in the conference, and it would be great to have last-minute arrivals. Some people called me yesterday and said, can I come late, you know, just for the afternoon? Well, yes, you can. Just let them know you're coming in late, and they'll take care of you right at the door. So, at any rate, hope to see everybody there at that event. Also today, the informal event at the China Walk Buffet, 1:45 p.m. Be there if you can, if you want to be there for the inside report. Coming from Corey Burnell, the president of Christian Exodus, will be talking to us from 1:45 to 2:45 at our normal Tyranny Response Network get-together on Friday afternoon at 1:40. He'll be there about 1:45 till 2:45 at China Walk Buffet, Pelham Road, right near I-85. Hope to see you there as well. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to our final break, and we'll come back for our last segment in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Just a couple reminders here for you. Go to tyrannyresponse.net, tyrannyresponse.com. All sorts of great stuff available there, including audio files and links to other great sites. There's also a contacts tab there. We hope that you'll get in touch with the Tyranny Response Network if you're able to help us out with putting some antennas up and doing some work with promoting our signal here in the upstate, as well as those who are able to help with technologies of computing, computer networking, and so forth. We also want to encourage people to volunteer to substitute for the Christian Worldview show as producer, and we're looking for some people just to put in a few hours a month. If you've got some money or some time or able to help out the Tyranny Response Network, you think it's a worthwhile cause, please contact somebody under the contacts tab there on the tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com website. You can also give Chuck a call at 271-6761. Leave a message if he's not there, and he'll get back in touch with you. That's 271-6761. Okay, here we have an article that was sent up by the illustrious Tyranny Response Network research staff from Covenant News Wire Service. This was, "We Need a Well-Formed Biblical Worldview," and it's written by Gary North. You can't beat something with nothing. That noise you're hearing in the background is actually Mr. Ferrier, I think, back on the line here with us, and we decided during the break to go ahead and read Gary North's article and make some comments on it. "We need a well-formed biblical worldview," is what Gary North said. And here's just a few quotes out of that article. He says, "The humanists have adopted the cultural strategy of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 1. Enroll the best and brightest of the targeted victims' youth and the establishment best schools. The strategy works until the anti-biblical establishment loses confidence in its first principles. Every anti-biblical establishment eventually loses confidence. All empires fall," Daniel 2:44-45. "So do all anti-biblical establishments." And this thing is called culture is what we're concerned about. "Christians have adopted," he says, and rightly so, Gary North writing, "the same cultural and philosophical premises that humanists profess, because Christians really do believe in the separation of Christian faith and culture. Humanists have persuaded Christians of the truth of the self-professed, theologically neutral worldview for culture." And this is where we've gone greatly awry. And then at the towards the end of his article, he says, "The fact is that creativity of every God-hating culture is limited. It develops in terms of its presuppositions. Its presuppositions are rotten. The ostrich approach is that of fundamentalism, but J. Gresham Machen spelled out three different positions, in fact, to describe the different way Christians react to these bad secular humanist intrusion into culture. In his 1912 address to the incoming students at Princeton Seminary, he labeled them the subordinationist view, that is liberalism, the destructivist view, which is pietism or fundamentalism, and the consecration view of Reformed Christianity. He ended his speech with his call to cultural commitment, and J. Gresham Machen thought it was very important for us to be committed to engaging cultures, just as we do here at Christian Worldview. He says, Gary North continued, he said, "I can think of no better document to hand a seminarian in his first class than Machen's speech. Frankly, I would require every candidate to write a 15-page paper on it as part of his application requirements." Rush Dooney dismissed this strategy with a terse phrase, "Let the dead bury the dead." That was the idea that you could change. Let's see. What does he say here? James Davidson Hunter suggests that to change the world, you finally have to take power seriously. This ultimately requires that you to take seriously raising leaders, building networks, and taking over institutions. Hunter suggests that we who want to change culture should seek to become the elite without succumbing to unbiblical elitism. Rush Dearing dismissed this strategy with a terse phrase, "Let the dead bury the dead." In short, he proposed the creation of alternative institutions governed by a revival confession of faith. From the day that he wrote Intellectual Schizophrenia, he made his position clear. Do not try to recapture the public schools. And this is so apropos to what Greg Ferry and I are talking about now. And Rush Dooney says, the problem is this. Christians believe in tax funding. This was Abraham Kuyper's blind spot in the Netherlands. He was elected prime minister of the Netherlands by promising Christians that their schools would get in on the tax booty. The Netherlands went downhill from the day he fulfilled his promise. And so culture is actually harmed, isn't it, Greg, when we look at how the public schools intrude into culture and promote secular humanism, and when the church believes that they can all vote and get their own Christian views in through the public education system, it ends up backfiring on them down the road. And I think that's what Dabney said all along as well. Dabney, Machen, some of the other Presbyterians were very critical of the idea of Christians supporting public education or having a department of education. And the idea of Kuyper's was simply wrong.
Yeah, well, you take a look at. I was just as you were reading there, as I had seen that article before previously. I was noticing how you are. You don't call yourself a theonomist or a Reconstructionist, I guess, as such, but you are right in line with those people. So there seems to be room to work together on that.
Oh, yeah, without any question. The theonomists have done excellent work on this and many other topics. And as I've always said, there's probably 80% overlap between liberty of conscience and theonomy, especially on these public policy prescriptions. We see the exact same activism as necessary. The presuppositions are really what differentiate the two schools, and they lead to vastly different conclusions in some things, but in many, many things, like this, we're right in line together. We'll both be out there in front of the abortion clinic and the public school, assailing the institution as evil.
You know, it's interesting that what you call the revived divine right doctrine, I wonder if that was not part of Mr. Kuyper's understanding of all this.
Yeah, it's hard to. It's for me. At some point, I want to say that Kuyper is really a theonomist, but he really was an illegitimate theonomist because he went way beyond what the Old Testament, I think, would have permitted in some of the things that he was doing as policy. He did try to do more of a divine right deal in many respects. So,
well, there some of the theonomists are looking to revive the. In regard to their divine right doctrine, they're looking to revive or reform institutions that are unreformable.
Yes.
I think Mr. North's situation here is where he is saying that, his father-in-law, Rush Dooney, was saying, abandon the public schools. Christians have no place in those places.
Correct.
I would assume that if somebody could get elected to office, somebody who is righteous and has these proper principles, there could be a turnaround here. We can't just abandon the government. Then again, on the other hand, you don't want to give the government too much leeway. It's the that quote we had the other day. It's the business of the. It's the business of the citizens to keep the government under control, not mm-hmm. the government to keep the citizens under control.
Yes, very, very true. You know, there's the point really boils down to what is transformable or not. You see, both a theonomist and a liberty of conscience person are going to take seriously the dominion mandate, whether they be postmillennial or not. They're going to take it seriously. They have an obligation to engage and transform their culture. The point, the rub comes in where things cannot be transformed. What do you do with those things? And It actually isn't a rub for theonomists and those in liberty of conscience. We basically agree on those institutions. But for a divine writer, they do not perceive the danger and the folly of trying to transform an evil institution like government schooling. And that's really where the rub comes in. But we would say, yeah, if you look at something like civil government as defined by the very limited government envisioned by the founders to protect life, liberty, and property, sure, that can be transformed, and Christians can be a part of that, just as they were founding of our country. But as far as the state goes, the parasite the privilege peddling parasite that we have today, that cannot be transformed. That is an institution of coercion and theft and extortion. And on the other side, things like public schoolings or things like the lobbying organizations or National Organization for Women, these things, or homosexual political action committees, abortion clinics, and the list goes on. There are things that are just not transformable. The only proper transformation of them is to reduce them to rubble, to remove them, and get out of them. I appreciate the theonomists when they point out this difference. Naive Christians in the Divine Right School believe you can actually transform the cow pie into gold, and you just can't do it.
It's that what's the word I'm looking for? Well, you talk about a cow pie into gold.
We've got.
You need to do something with it.
Left.
I guess if you can even just grow some corn with it.
Yeah.
Is there something that can be done with it? Is there something that can be manipulated with it?
Well, yeah, we can just take the buildings and sell them off to private enterprise so they can put kids in there to give them something to do for work after they're done finishing homeschool. Greg, we just hit 9 o'clock, so we've got to go. But it's been great having you on the line today, and we're looking forward, of course, to having you here in the studio next week on Friday. So appreciate you calling today.
All right. Glad to make it happen. I'll see you a little later.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Yes, and Greg will be bringing in, hopefully, the camera crew tomorrow to help record our event at Christian Exodus. Remember, Rip and Richie's show is sometime today on the Tyranny Response Network. Stay tuned for all of that good stuff that's coming ahead. Thanks for listening to Christian Worldview this week with Dr. John Coben. We'll look forward to seeing you back here for another great edition of the show starting on Monday morning. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us at 7:30 Monday morning right here on TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, for another installment of Christian Worldview.